Our next speaker is Mr. Corey Waymar. He's going to be presenting on the present status of allocation wells and issues. Corey Waymar, he's a lawyer practicing out of San Antonio, but he practices all across the state, whether the Permian or throughout East Texas or South Texas. Went to Texas Tech Law School, graduated in 2006. He's board certified in civil trial and oil and gas mineral law. Please join me in welcoming Mr. Waymar.
Thank you, Jonathan. Very much appreciate the invitation to speak. Always an honor to get to come and present at this one. Thanks to Patrick LeMasters in terms of the written materials that you've seen distributed and the PowerPoint. Those were the efforts of Patrick, and I get to show up for the fun stuff. With respect to the allocation well issue and status, this has been a 15-year evolving piece that we thought we were going to get some clarity out of the Austin Court of Appeals with. The direction they went with that actually provided very little clarity. We're going to talk about the current status of that case, exactly what was going on in that case and how it ended up at its current status in the appeals opinion from Austin. But in terms of setting that up, I wanted to talk a little bit about first, horizontal wells and the methods by which they're drilled, the recurring questions in this allocation well debate, the guidance on the Railroad Commission permitting practice before this Opiella case, what exactly is going on in Opiella and the post-Opiella landscape, because it really sets up the core issues that the Supreme Court may be grappling with on this particular one or that other courts of appeals by way of review will be called on to deal with. So what are the methods that these long horizontal wells are getting drilled on? That's typically pooled units, a PSA, or just a straight allocation procedure. With respect to the pooled units, this is the voluntary pooling. That was the old traditional method. Two or more oil and gas leases are being combined together to form a unit of sufficient size to get your permit for drilling from the commission. What does that pooling accomplish? It potentially accomplishes a cross-conveyancing of the minerals under it. There's debate on exactly, and the case law is not perfectly clear on whether a true cross-conveyancing of minerals happens or if it's something of mere contract. You can have specific lease provisions that go different ways on that. It also establishes a method by which the tracts in the unit are going to share in the production. And so typically, if you've got a validly pooled unit, there's going to be formulae in your lease that speaks to the pooling, and you're going to know exactly who to pay and how to pay. And it allows that operator to treat production and operations anywhere on the pooled unit as taking place on each tract in the unit. That's going to have a lot of significance for lease perpetuation purposes. And it also, in terms of as the case law comes in and bears on that, from a surface use perspective, we do have clear case law in Texas that says you can disregard those lease boundaries, operate the entire unit as though it was a contiguous whole for purposes there. So the advantages of going with a pooled unit in terms of drilling this horizontal well, you have that clear formula. You've got the operations anywhere, operations everywhere, and you're going to be relieved of certain of those implied obligations with respect to each component tract. Disadvantages, well, you have to have the pooling authority in your lease to do it in the first place. This is a creature of contract, and so you may not have the right to pool it, and you may have to form a pooled unit pursuant to your contractual terms that you don't like. It may not allow a sufficiently sized unit for you to drill the type of well and length of well that you really want to, or the numbers of well. There may be anti-dilution provisions in your pooling clause that specify minimum acreage that have to go into the unit, and that may create conflict in terms of your well program. PSA wells. The production sharing agreement well, in terms of what a PSA well is, you'll hear that the Opiella opinion actually injected a lot of uncertainty into that exact question, but generally would be understood as some kind of a written agreement between the lessors and working interest holders holding interest in the tract that's going to be traversed, where they agree on a formula or a series of formulae to allocate that production. Where did this PSA process procedure come from. But this, as I talk about this going back 15 years, this is in 2008, the Railroad Commission comes about with this informal policy of granting permits on PSA wells if the usual drilling criteria is met, but the operator also certifies that at least 65% of the working interest and royalty owners in each component tract have signed a PSA.